Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you that in your kindness and your mercy, you have given us this day of life that we might glorify you, that we might praise and worship you. I pray, Lord, that we would be aware and realizing that our life comes from you. Our next breath comes from you. So, Lord, in everything that we do, let us glorify you. Forgive us, O God, of our sins. Forgive us when we are not thinking of you. Forgive us of our sins. We are thankful, Lord, that you are able and just to forgive us of our sins because we are sinners and we are in need of mercy and grace. So we thank you for your grace and for your mercy. Lord, help us tonight as we look to the Word, to this chapter here in 2 Corinthians, Lord. What an important passage it is for all of us. May we learn from it. May we be convicted by it. Lord, cause us to change. Cause us to think in a way that would be glorifying to you. We pray for those who are not here tonight, for Elijah, Lord, as he is sick. Lord, we ask for a healing in his body, Lord, if it be your will, let him know he is missed tonight. For Chris at his game, keep him safe, help him have a good time. For everyone else who cannot make it, Lord, our thoughts are with them, Lord, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Last week, I read this verse. I didn't let anyone open their Bibles yet, but I read this verse to everyone, and it was this. You should not plow with an ox and a donkey together. And I had everyone write it down, and I had everyone try and guess and tell me what they thought that meant.
Can I guess?
Sure.
Do you want me to guess right now?
If you want to.
But I know.
Okay,
just do it.
Okay, so we had a lot of funny, suggestions of what people thought it meant, and a few people knew what it meant, and the more I gave some hints, and that helped people out. And so tonight, we'll talk about it, and you'll understand it more. You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. Now, what is this? Is this speaking spiritual? Yes, right? Okay. So now, with your Bibles open to 2 Corinthians 6:14.
Wait, are you sure it's not too dark?
2 Corinthians 6:14. Okay. Let us read together. And we're going to read all the way to chapter 7, verse 1. Okay? Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So after reading the verse in Deuteronomy last week, I had everyone who was here to think about this past week, what is our responsibility? What should be our relationship with unbelievers? How do we handle that? Can we be friends with non-Christians? Can we call them friends? And what is our responsibility towards them? Can we be boyfriend, girlfriend with a non-believer? Can we hang out with them all the time? Go see movies and have them over our house and go to their house and hang out with them all the time. And so, if you were here, you're supposed to be thinking about that all this week, thinking about what is my responsibility as a Christian with a non-Christian, with an unbeliever. I'm not pointing anyone. So, verse 14, okay? Okay, so we keep in mind, okay, I also told everyone last week that if they were not a Christian, to not be offended by this, but learn together with us, okay? And if you're not a Christian and you want to be a Christian, then you come to me later and we'll talk about, we'll look to the scriptures in Romans about, you know, what it is we need to do. Okay, so if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you have not accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't be offended by any of this tonight, but learn from it, okay? So remember, this is the Word of God, right? Please, nothing here is my opinion, my feelings. This is the Word of God, okay? So 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness?" I thought I was going to be able to fit all of these verses that I read in tonight, but as I started preparing, there's just way too much here. So this is going to end up being probably like a 3 or 4 week deal. But that's okay. So do not be unequally yoked. After we read in Deuteronomy that you should not plow an ox and a donkey together, now we read, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What does that have to do with the verse in Deuteronomy? Anyone think they can guess? Even if you heard it last week, that's okay. I'll let you guess. Kylie?
The ox and the yoke, and they're like unbelievers and believers. You're not supposed to be with them all the time.
Okay. So here we have an ox and a donkey.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work. They have two different sizes. One hold it.
Bingo. Okay? Here you have a field, right? Picture a field. And, okay? You're all picturing a field, right? Josh, you sure? So now we have an ox on this side and a donkey on this side. We're hooking them up to the deal, right? And yeah, the ox is bigger, right? And the donkey wants to do his own thing. The ox wants to do his thing. It's not going to work. One's going to want to go this way. And they're two different animals to do two separate things, and it will not work. They also have two different natures in them, right? Donkey has a donkey nature, and the ox has an ox nature. And the ox doesn't want a donkey nature, and the donkey doesn't want an ox nature. Donkey wants to do donkey things, right? The ox wants to do ox things. And they don't even know how to communicate. The donkey speaks donkey, the ox speaks ox, right? Okay? So it's not going to work, okay? So, now, when we read this, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Okay? Unequally yoked is the Greek word, and this is hard to say, heterozugio. Let's all say that together. Heterozugio. Very good. Okay. And it means this, to be yoked unequally as with pagan idolaters. To bear a different yoke. Unbelievers here, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. Unbelievers here denotes one who disbelieves the gospel of Christ. Okay? The word unbeliever, when I read, do not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. This is a person who disbelieves the gospel of Christ. An unbeliever or an infidel. They do not believe the gospel of Christ. They do not believe him to be the Messiah. They do not accept him. They despise him. So they do not believe the gospel. That's what it is referring to here when it says, do not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. So what's an unbeliever? One who denies the gospel of Christ. That is an unbeliever. And so he's telling us here, he was telling the church at Corinth, and he's telling us here that we as Christians who believe in Christ, who believe him to be the Son of God, who believe him to come to this earth as a man, fully God and fully man, and suffer and die for our sins, and we believe him who rose again and now lives and sits at the right hand of God. This is what Christians believe. Right? This is what we believe. And so Paul is telling the church that you as a Christian, who Christ is your Savior, and he died for your sins, do not be yoked together with an unbeliever. For they do not believe the gospel of Christ. They deny it. They put it off. And so they're infidels is what it means here. Do not be yoked together with an unbeliever. John MacArthur adds this, his commentary says, an illustration taken from Old Testament prohibitions to Israel regarding the work-related joining together of two different kinds of livestock, right? The ox and the donkey. They were not allowed to do it. It was prohibited. You weren't even allowed to do it. Why? Because it didn't work. You would just waste your time. Okay, so by this analogy, Paul taught that it is not right to join together in common spiritual enterprise with those who are not of the same nature. It is impossible under such an arrangement for things to be done to God's glory. When you join together with an unbeliever, it is impossible for God to be glorified because both of you have two different natures, just like the ox and just like the donkey. The believer has a nature that has come from God, right? When we're saved, all things are new, the old guy is gone. We've been given a new nature, a nature that loves God, a nature that wants to please Him, a nature that despises the old self, right? The old self is dead, and we have a new self along with a new nature, a nature that comes from God. And so the unbeliever then still has the sinful nature, the depraved nature, a nature that despises God, a nature that doesn't want to be obedient to God or to Christ or to His gospel, right, or to the Word of God. And so you have two different natures. Everyone understanding this so far? Two different people, two different natures. One serving Christ, the other one not. The one with a new nature, the one with a still depraved nature. Okay? Ephesians 5, 7 and 8 says this, therefore do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. And this is what we need to remember, and we went through this in Titus, that we were once foolish, right? All of us, we were once foolish. We were once sinful, depraved, lost in the dark. And this is what he's saying here. Do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you're night. You're not in darkness anymore. God has saved you. You have been redeemed. You are now in the light where Christ is. So do not be partakers of those who are still in the darkness. This was a necessary rebuke for the Corinthian believers. For he reproves the fault into which they, the believers there, had fallen into. The believers here in Corinth had fallen into some wicked stuff. And so he's given an exhortation and reproof in them. This is what some of the things they had fallen into. They imagined that there was nothing that was unlawful for them in outward things. They defiled themselves with wicked superstitions without any reserve. So just any superstitions they were grabbing hold of and living that without any reserve, without any thought. They were falling susceptive to superstitions. Okay? They defiled themselves with wicked superstitions without any reserve, without any thought, without any consideration. Also for frequenting the banquets of unbelievers. And you can imagine what goes on in the banquets of unbelievers. Drunkenness, orgies, and the such. Okay, they participated along with them in profane and impure rites. And while they sinned grievously, they nevertheless thought themselves innocent. They thought they were doing nothing wrong. They thought they weren't offending God, and yet they were, because they joined together with unbelievers and were doing the things that the unbelievers were doing. They thought, oh, well, there's nothing wrong with this. I can have this superstition. I can go to this party. I can go and do this and that. I can go with them and watch this movie that totally blasphemes God. I can do this and that. This is what we do today. This is what they were doing back then. They were partaking. They were joining in. They were yoking together with unbelievers. And the unbelievers were idolaters. And so when they do this, when they were joined together, they were becoming idolaters. They were doing the things that the unbelievers were doing. Are you hearing me? This is why it does not work. it does not, and it cannot, and it does not glorify God. Thus, this is why Paul writes, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. They are idolaters. If you do the things that they do, you are idolaters. You sin right along with them. John Calvin says, on this account, Paul inveighs here against outward idolatry and exhorts Christians to stand aloof from it and have no connection with it. Do not partake in their idolatry. Do not partake in their sinfulness. Do not partake in their blasphemous things that they do. The Holy Apostle closes this chapter, chapter 6, with an exhortation to avoid all intimacy with idolaters, either in civil affairs, in marriages, because a lot of people read this and they say that it just means marriage. Oh, well, you know, Pastor, that just means I can't marry an unbeliever. Oh, that's what that means? Okay, then go ahead and hang out with that guy who hates God and, you know, wants to do this and that. That's okay, then. That's not what this means here. Yes, marriage is included here. We're not to marry an unbeliever, but it's not stricted just to that. It's in every circumstance we are not to be unequally yoked. In civil affairs, marriages, religious worship, lest we be brought into communion with their idolatry. And that's what we do not want to happen. We do not want to be brought into communion with their sinfulness, with their idolatry. There being no more agreement between a believer and idolater than betwixt light and darkness, or Christ and Satan. It is both wise and safe to have as little civil communion with idolaters as we can. And when we are when it's necessary to have civil communion with them, we must utterly avoid all sinful communion with them. Because we live in this world, and so we're going to have contact with unbelievers. Work with them, go to school with them, whatever. And we're going to have contact. So we must do whatever we do to avoid sinning with them. Avoid falling into their idolatry. This is what he wants us to avoid, to be stand aloof from. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Okay? Now he goes on and makes an argument of why, the reasoning behind what he's trying to tell the people. Hey, do not be unequally yoked. Okay, here's why. And here's my arguments. He says, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness or with unrighteousness? Let's think about that for a second. You listening? Everyone listening. What fellowship, we all know what fellowship is, what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Okay, think about that a second. Is there fellowship with righteousness and unrighteousness? Okay, is there fellowship? Is there a mingling? Does righteousness have fellowship with unrighteousness? No. The word fellowship here, okay, means to partake, denoting association, to have partnership, fellowship. Okay? This is what fellowship means again, to partake. Okay? Denoting associated with you, association. To have partnership. Okay? So he's asking the question, does righteousness partake of unrighteousness? Does righteousness associate with unrighteousness? No. It can't be. That's why it's righteous. And this is unrighteous. There is no joint here. It can't fellowship. It bounces off. It doesn't work. That's why one is righteous and the other is unrighteous. They do not join together. There is no fellowship. You see what it's saying here? There's a huge difference between righteousness and unrighteousness. And that's Paul's point here. He's saying, what fellowship is there with righteousness and unrighteousness? There is none. There is no joining together. They don't partake. There is no association together. There is no union. They don't partner together at all. Righteousness being the state of a believer, and unrighteousness the state of an unbeliever. Now, we were once unrighteous. We were unsaved. We were an unbeliever. We were at war against God. But He saved us in His grace and His mercy and brought us into a state of righteousness, and that is where He keeps us. And because righteousness has no fellowship with unrighteousness, we can have no fellowship with unbelievers. And I'll explain that more here a little bit, okay? Now He goes on. Well, before I go on, when He says, when He's asking the question, the interrogative, which is the question, form here is designed to be emphatic. It's an emphatic question here, okay? I don't know if that makes sense. He's asking a question emphatically. Does that help? Okay. And to declare in the strongest terms that there can be no such partnership. There can be no such partnership. This is what the language is here when he's asking the question. Can there, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Okay? There can be no fellowship or association. Calvin says it's absurd. And I agree. It's absurd. Righteousness, unrighteousness. There's nothing in common there. So now he goes on. He says, he asks another question. And what communion has light with darkness? What communion has light with darkness? Now, just for illustration purposes, and we're all mature here, okay? So no giggling or anything. Dylan, kick the lights off there for me, please. Okay? Now, that light's still on. That's good. Okay, so now we see someone, do me a favor, Dylan, make sure you're run down the hall and turn off the hall lights. You know where they are? Right by the stairs. Come on.
Professor!
And someone can stand by these lights real quick. Wait, turn it on real quick!
We should do teachings like this every single day. That way you can't tell.
Danielle, you stay right there, okay? Dylan, you okay? Yeah, come back, but don't trip.
Careful, there's a table.
We should do teachings like this every single day.
Don't run.
That way
it's so dark.
Daniel, turn it on real quick so you can find a seat.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so okay. Now, leave them on. The question is being asked, what communion has light with darkness? Okay? Turn off the lights. Thank you. Stay right there. Okay, now listen. I said we're mature, right? Okay? This is darkness. This is our former state. Lost. Listening or are we giggling?
Listening, coughing.
This is darkness, which denotes sinfulness, being lost. Not know where we're going. Okay? Danielle, turn on the lights, please. Okay? Light. Is there anything in common there? No. In darkness, we cannot see where we are going. In the light, I can see. I can see where I'm walking. There's a huge difference here. And that's the point of a believer and an unbeliever. Righteousness and unrighteousness. There's no fellowship there. There's nothing in common. I was once in darkness, but now I'm not. God has brought me out of that. He's made me a new person. And I'm not in darkness anymore. So he asks, what communion has light with darkness? The word communion also means fellowship, or it's with participation. Or right hands of fellowship, the pledge of communion. So in other words, he's asking, is there communion between light and darkness? Is there joining of hands? Is light fellowshipping with darkness? No. There's a vast difference. And in spiritual terms, remember, a lot of times the Bible is speaking spiritually. Okay? Darkness denotes what? As I said already, sinfulness. Right? Who is the father of darkness? Satan, as we learned in 1 John, remember? Right? So, do we want to be in the darkness as a child of Satan, where he clearly is, where he does all his dirty work? That's where we formerly were. Do we still want to be associated with him in darkness? No. Christ has rescued us from that, saved us from that, and has put us in the light where he is. He denotes light. Light means purity, truth, holiness. You see the difference there? They're opposite. And Satan dwells in the dark, and Christ dwells and is the light. And so now think about these things. He's giving these examples to argue his point of what? Do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. So are we getting it? Are we understanding why? And so in the next few weeks, we'll explain what can happen. What happens when it's yoked? Well, what happens when the donkey and ox try and plow the field? Utter chaos. The farmer's probably going to lose all his crop. Or they might fight and one might kill the other. Something. But it does not work. And yet so many times we're so quick to go and join ourselves with an unbeliever. Aren't we? We've all been guilty of it. I want this person to be my best friend. We're going to hang out and do everything together. But wait a minute. Where's the consideration to the Scriptures? Now, yes, we have an obligation to do what? To witness. To share the gospel, which they deny. Right? That was the definition of unbeliever. They deny the gospel of Christ. They deny the gospel message. And so, can I call an unbeliever a friend? My answer to that is going to be yes. Here's why. Okay? I have someone at work who's not a Christian. And so I have to spend a lot of time with this person when I work with him. Okay? And I would consider him, I would call him a friend. Now, I am not going to go and spend countless hours of time with him, because I'm forbidden to. I have nothing in common with him. I will not partake. I will not join in with his idolatry, with his sin. Can I call him a friend? Do I care about him? Yes. And so what's my obligation to him? Witness. Share the gospel. Live my life before him that would glorify God. And so that he will see the hope that is within me and ask, Brandon, what is the hope within you? Why are you happy? Why do you have this hope? I could say, well, let me tell you. Here's why. Here's the gospel of Christ. Here's what he's done for me. Yes, I can call him a friend, but I cannot be unequally yoked with him. I cannot spend countless hours with him. Obviously, at work, I have to. But I cannot go and plow with him. This is what he's telling me. Because if I do, if I go and start spending all this time with him outside of work, I will join with him. I will partake with him. I will have fellowship with him. And I will sin with him. It will happen. It does happen. This is why there's so many warnings by these commentators that I was reading. And this is why Paul says, this is why he was giving a strict, firm warning to the believers here in Corinth. and it's a strict firm warning for us too. Is there fellowship with righteousness and unrighteousness? The answer is either yes or no. There's no in between. There's no maybe. Here's righteousness. Here's unrighteousness. They're separate. Here's light. Here's darkness. There's nothing in common. They're separate. That's the believer, and that's the unbeliever. We cannot be joined together. We cannot be unequally yoked. So why are we so quick to go and mix it up with them? Why are we so quick to go and join ourselves with them? That does this mean we hate them? Of course not. We love them and care for them. This is why that when we are with them at work, school, whatever, you're having them over for a family reunion, something, this is why you take advantage of the opportunity you have with them to share the gospel, because you do care for them. They are your friends. You call them friends. Do you honestly want any of them to go to hell? No. So you take advantage of the time that you do have with them, which is limited, which Paul tells us, and you share the gospel with them. Because you do care. And because you don't spend a lot of time with them outside of school, outside of work, and whatever else. And when you join with them, you join in their sins with them. You can't do that. Come out from amongst them, we're told. Be separate. You are a child of God. Remember in 1 John when it said that it is obvious whether you're a child of God or a child of Satan? It's obvious. And so we cannot join with them. We cannot fellowship with them. We cannot partake in the stuff that they do. We cannot join in with them. And that's exactly what the believers were doing in Corinth. They were going and joining them in their events. And so sinning along with them. So, you know, this is very convicting for any of us. Because we do have some friends that are unbelievers. Don't we? But as children of God, as a child of God, remember that you're not in darkness anymore. God has rescued you from darkness. He has pulled you out of darkness, and He has joined you with Him. You now have communion with God Almighty, and Christ is your Savior, and He is light, and you are in the light with Him. Darkness is no more. You're a different person. And so there can be no union. There's always different convictions of, you know, if you're allowed to have a boyfriend or girlfriend or not. Some of your parents may let you. Some of your parents may not let you. Should you have a girlfriend or boyfriend that's an unbeliever? Absolutely not. Oh, but they're a good person, Brandon. Absolutely not. They don't do bad things. Absolutely. That's the first question I ask when someone comes up to me. Hey, Pastor Brandon, I got a new boyfriend or girlfriend. Oh, really? Are they Christian? Well, I think so. Or really, do they go to church? Well, I don't know. They're your boyfriend or girlfriend, and you think they're Christian, and you don't know when they go to church? What did 1 John say? It is obvious whether you're a Christian or a child of Satan. Or, hey, best friend, this is my new best friend. We're going to hang out and go see all these movies together. Oh, cool. Are they a Christian? Well, they go to church. No, I asked her, are they a Christian? Well, I said, Brandon, they go to church. No, you didn't hear me. I said, are they a Christian? These are very, I get it all the time. So I want all of us here to really consider this. Now, again, this is the Word of God, right? Right? This is the Word of God. This is not me up here sneaking it in here. I'm not allowed to do that. Or do I want to? So this is not just me giving my opinion. This is the Word of God. And we are told, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Period. Is there a period of yours? Period of mine. Right? So, Paul loves the believers here in Corinth, doesn't he? Everywhere Paul went and discipled and preached the gospel, he loved the people, didn't he? Very much so. And so is he telling the people here, imagine Paul coming to Corinth and gathering together and preaching, and he finds out all the things that the church here have been doing. And he's disappointed, isn't he? But he loves them. And so is he telling them this to be on their backs and rip them and try to control them? He's telling them this because he loves them. He says, look, you cannot be yoked together with them. When you do so, you sin with them. Look at what they're doing, and this is what you're doing. Why do you go with them? Why do you partake with them? Why do you fellowship with them? Why do you join with them? You become idolaters with them. He's telling them this because he loves them. And he wants to help them. And so, all of us in here, pretend you have a mirror right in front of you. Or ask yourself this, whether you go to public school, homeschool, whatever. Think of the friends that you have, okay? Think of the closest friends that you have that you spend the most amount of time with, okay? Is everyone picturing someone in their head right now? Okay? I'll give you a second here to think about the people you spend the most time with, okay? Now, you know their lives. You know them. You know whether or not they're a Christian or not. Don't make it. If you have to make excuses to convince your parents that they're Christians, come on, they're not. You know. And when your mom and dad asks, you know the truth. So, now ask. Are you being unequally yoked together with an unbeliever? Okay? Don't answer. I'm not asking, looking for an answer. You're asking yourself. Okay? And if so, Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Come out from amongst them, we're told. You cannot be unequally yoked with them. And that's hard because you love and care for them, don't you? This is the person or persons you spend a lot of time with. But when we read, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, you've got to ask yourself, am I doing this? And if I am, I can't be doing this. You know, you always hear, well, you know, I influence them for the good, Mom. Doesn't matter. You cannot be unequally yoked together with them, period. Now, the time that you do have with them at school, on the occasion, for whatever reason, they're studying at your house or something like that, what are you going to do with that time now? Because you do care for them, right? Do you honestly want what you would call your best friend to suffer and spend eternity in hell? Of course not. So what do you do with your time? even if they laugh and make fun of you. Well, if you really love them and you really care for them, you would preach the gospel. You would tell them the gospel of Christ, the very gospel that they reject. Even though they might call themselves a Christian, even. Again, you know their lives. You're with them a lot. So as we go tonight, and as you go back to these friends, whether it's at school or wherever it might be, okay, in sports or whatever, remember, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? There is no fellowship. There is no communion. Now, let this be a conviction for us. Let us think about it. And remember that this is the Word of God. We must be obedient to it. We can't sneak around this. Don't come up with excuses for your friends. You might be able to trick mom or dad. Maybe some slight chance. But most of the time not. But you're not tricking God, are you? We're not holy. And this is the Word of God, and the Word of God is what? God breathed. And so, especially for then for you public schoolers, it's harder. And so this is going to be a challenge. But where do you stand? Who are you united with? You have light and dark. There is no in between. I love you all very much. And I understand, you know, I went to public school. I understand it's hard. And so, those of you who do go to public school, I'm here to help you in any way I can. And I'll be praying for you and the Holy Ghost too. I'm not saying you have some easy... Hey, who's to say your brother or sister is a Christian, right? But if you need help, if you need counsel, if you need to look through this more, which we will in the coming weeks, but if you have any questions, you come to us, you come to me, and we'll work through this, we'll help you. Because I understand it's going to be hard. You go back to school, and here you have this close friend, and what are you supposed to do? You know you shouldn't be spending all this time with them. You know it's not right. How am I going to do this? How am I going to work through this? They might laugh and make fun of you and want nothing to do with you when you start sharing with them the gospel. But that's okay. Any mocking or ridiculing they might give you doesn't come close to the persecution that Christ got. He did that for you. Big deal, you get made fun of at school. Christ bled and shed and suffered for you. So they throw a spit wad and pegs you right in the back of the head. Christ had a crown of thorns on his head for you. So you have no one to eat with at lunch. Christ was scourged, forced to wear a robe, dripping with blood, forced to carry his own cross for you. Love your friends by telling them the truth. Right? Love them by telling them the truth. And love them by taking a stand. Because there is no community. There is no fellowship. Our gracious Lord and Savior, help us with these verses here, we pray, O God. Lord, if we need to be convicted by this, we ask that you convict us of this very thing. If we have been guilty of being unequally yoked with unbelievers, Lord, convict us of our sin. Help us, cause us to change. We know what we ought to do. Lord, help us to do that. Let us not be ashamed of you, O God. Look at everything you've done for us. How then can we go out and be ashamed or embarrassed of you because of what they'll say of us or do to us? You have done everything for us. Help us to do the right thing, O God. Spirit, lead us. Let us follow. Will you lead us? Lord, help us. And for those friends that we do have who are unbelievers, let us truly love them by telling them the truth. And telling them, look, I cannot partake with you. They might hate us. But then we see that they were new. They were never a true friend. But let us love them enough to tell them the truth and tell them that I cannot have fellowship. I cannot be doing these things. I serve God and I love Him and I want to please Him and He is in the light. And I'm not going to do what's in the darkness. I'm not going to sin against my God. He rescued me from that very thing. Help me to love my friends by speaking the truth to them in love. Give me strength, O God. Give me courage, O God, to do what is right before you. Then and then only will you be glorified in my life. Your word says, do not be unequally yoked. God, help us. Help us, we pray. Forgive us if we have been guilty of this. Forgive us when we have sinned along with unbelievers. Help us in this area, we pray. Give us strength. Give us courage. Let us not be ashamed. And help us to do what is right. And help us to truly love you by doing what is right. In Jesus' name. Now, we're going to be on this for the next few weeks, so be thinking of questions, whatever you have, okay?